All righty. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Appreciate you making it out. We are blessed. The Lord is blessing Austin Bible Church this morning. We are blessed to have Fassel and Carrie with us today. I had a chance to spend some time with them yesterday as well at the Voice of the Martyrs Conference, and you'll be hearing some more about that today, this morning as well. I'm giving Fassel both hours this morning, and so he will be teaching a Bible class this hour and then giving his missionary report next hour related to Grace Bible Church Pakistan and the things there. And of all the days, I'm not going to take up too much of his time, but I woke up this morning and I got on Facebook, and Facebook was reminding me of past memories, and wouldn't you know, it was 8 years ago today. It was on February the 24th of 2011 when Carrie posted on my Facebook wall for the very first time ever, and she introduced herself and said, you know, pleased to meet you, been praying for you for 7 years, and now it's good to see your face, and do you know my husband, Pastor Fassel? And I did not. So I said, I want to meet him. And so here we are. And of course, I love them both, and just thrilled as anything to have them with us this morning. So Pastor Fassel, please bring us the word of God.
Brother. Wow. Just like, you know, Facebook is tracking everything. 8 years, 9 years, 10 years back, it will be beautiful to standing in the presence of the King of Kings to see how valuable we were under the Spirit of God to be, you know, used by God the Holy Spirit to fulfill our vocation. I'm not talking about vacation, the holiday, but vocation. My V's are weak because V and W is our opposite in Urdu language. So I have to be careful to use my V and my W in a such way that it makes sense. So that's why I said weak vocation, not wo V. Anyways, it's honor to be here among you guys, and we are so blessed to have not only support in a such way like, you know, to be on the field, but the best thing, to depend on your prayer. The encouragement that you guys continue to, you know, offer so many ways. So again, brother, it's an honor to be back here in Austin Bible Church and to share the Word of God, because you guys are a hub of God's Word beacon in the Austin area. So I'm shrinking to share something that God has put in my heart to share with you guys. And I hope it will be encouragement to you all. So I want to open up with a word of prayer, because it will be reminder forever and ever until we are in eternity. English is my second language. So let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us a wonderful right to be a royal priest under the mighty name of Jesus Christ, to come boldly before your throne. Thank you, Father, to exercise our right with not guilt, with not shame, but a privilege that we can approach you as a brother, as our king, as our leader, and as our savior. So, Father, thank you for this privilege, and especially for the Holy Spirit who's always with us, guiding us, even when we are not in tapping with the work that He has want to do and prepare for us to do. So, Father, this morning, I'm calling upon the power of the Holy Spirit to guide me and give me vocabulary and words so I can be, in a tiny way, encouragement to the body of Christ here, and your name be glorified. Thank you, Father, and hide me behind the finished work of Jesus Christ, and may your name be glorified forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I've been thinking, and I say, you know, Coming to Austin Bible Church is like a big institution of God's Word, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and everything, and sitting and standing before, you know, wonderful teacher. And I was asking, Lord, what should I do? What should I share? So as I've been praying and praying, so I said, you know, I want to look at the book of Corinthians today in a given time to see what was in the mind of Paul when he was reading the book or writing the book of Corinthians to the church. So first thing I want to talk about, as we know and familiar from Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, talks about all the heroes of faith. And they are known by the writer. And he says, you know, we are just, you know, surrounded by the cloud of witnesses. And we know in the contents, he's talking about Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Noah, and many others that he's talking in the chapter 11, because whatever and whenever we see, therefore, we are know that he's talking about what he just finished talking, and he's exhorting us to look ahead. So he says, you know, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easily, you know, entangles us and stop us. So he said we can run the race. So I want to just talk about, you know, the cloud of witnesses. And as I was thinking, I said, you know, we can look at our mentors and our forerunners looking back to understanding the cross and the cause and what they were looking ahead even before we even ever exist. So I want to talk about the book of Corinthians in a five commands. And these five commands I was looking because I was preparing for the conference to go somewhere, but I was unable to go. So I want to talk about from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And Paul gave us in these two verses of five wonderful commands. So as I was studying, I said, have something to do with this whole letter. Because whenever we study any letter or any gospel or any book of the Bible, I often call my six friends who are faithful. They always guide me in the right directions. And those are the six friends never, never deceive me. And I know you guys know about those six friends, and they call what, where, who, and how, and when, and why. And those are faithful friends. They never deceive you when you are doing God's word study in a thorough way. So I was talking to them. I say, you know, can you tell me what was in the mind of Apostle Paul when he sat down and to pin down everything that he have received from the church going on? We don't know. We don't have any record. But probably we can see in the Bible that he's talking about that he received some letters, some reports, and some things from the local people in the Corinth church saying this is going on in the church. So he's writing the letter. So I was studying this, and I just want to share these five commands in a way that Paul was thinking. So he said, watch. Stand firm in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. So as I was thinking, I said, you know, Paul have not only their situation in their mind, but he was way, way connected back in the Old Testament, looking the situations, looking the pictures, what happened. So as I was thinking, I said, you know, there's so many witnesses we can call, we can, you know, connect, we can talk. And I was thinking, I said, Paul, tell me, give me something. What is in your mind when you wrote these five commands? So the first person came in my mind, Samson. And I said, you know, probably Maybe I'm wrong, but probably Paul have studied. Paul knew as a fantastic student of God's word, sitting under the great school in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, studying the Old Testament, knowing the Torah on his fingertips and everything, and having sense of complete confidence in the logos of God's word. So I said the first thing probably in his mind was Samson, because the first command is, different translation said, be on the alert or watch. And as I was studying, and I say, have something to do with the Old Testament. So I just put First Corinthians chapter 1-4. It is correlate with Judges chapter 16, and whole chapter is talking about the failure and the weakness. And even Samson was anointed and set apart as a Nazir. That's the Urdu word I'm using for Nazir, for Nazirai. Somebody set apart. So the Nazir word in mean to set apart, to be decided and dedicated for a certain goal to be fulfilled in or his or her life. So I was thinking, in Samson's life, he was called to do spiritual thing, not carnal thing. And we know the whole story of Samson. Samson fell in love with, the wrong people, and he, instead being a spiritual, he end up being a carnal and miss out a great blessing. So be on the alert, watch. And I said, Paul was talking and giving them, because in the church, first there was a dispute going on. Who is a better? Some of them saying, I'm a follower of Paul. I have heard from Paul about Jesus Christ. Some of them from Peter. Some of them Apollos and many others. And they are just, making division. So he's saying, be alert. Stay awake. Have a spiritual goggles on. Do not be deceived. If we go the first four chapters, and that is the whole report going on in church, and even he's talking in the chapter 3, he's saying, I'm talking to you as a children, those who are under the influence of old sin nature, not being influenced by the new nature of the Holy Spirit that is in you. So I will call you carnal, not spiritual. So the first four chapter, if we go through just the outlines, I was looking at it, I say, I can see Samson among them, because they are so destructive. They are just, lost into so many different issues, just like Samson being, deceived by the beauty of Delilah, the naughty girl. The naughty girls, diffuse the whole plan of God in a such way in Samson's life. And that was the same thing going on in the church of Corinth. They are background, we know, from idol worshiping, going to the temples, many different issues. So Paul is talking about, so that was the first command I was taking. I say, have to do with the spirituality, not carnality. So we can learn. We need to be, aware of. And if we look at the word command, watch, it's all over in New Testament, and it gave us a sense of, awareness that we need to be on the alert, as, many scriptures tells us that our struggles is not carnal. Our struggle is not carnal to be bound by, but it's a spiritual to overcome the carnal. So that's why Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the power, against the world forces of the dark, of forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So how can we apply in our life? We need to look if in our life, as we are called, as Paul is telling them, you are sanctified, you are holy, you are blameless. In the first chapter, in the first couple verses, he introducing them, not guilty, not shame, not this, not that. He is looking them the way God the Father look anybody who is been imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's looking at them and saying, you know, you are this, but you are not living that way. The same goes connection back with the Samson. He was set apart, holy, and decided to be the good call to do God's purpose as a judge. But he was not. So he's bringing the same thing to in the attention of Corinthians, saying, you ought to walk as a worthy of a spiritual child of God, not as a carnal. So we are struggling. And I said, how can we apply daily in our life? We have a fight going on. And that is a fight taking place every day in the arena of our left and right lobe. And we make a choice and use the funnel of God's word to sort out what is, you know, need to be kept and what is need to be thrown away, just like in the disposal in our kitchens. Put it in there, brrr, gone. So he's saying our struggle is not against the blood and flesh, not to, you know, take a, you know, action on something that is not need to be, like a lot of people are doing in that time and maybe doing right now. A lot of terrorists trying to, you know, win people over, you know, not by love, but by, you know, violence and all kind of hostility. So our struggle is spiritual. And we are not going to fight, you know, like some people are doing it. And then he said, you know, we can use the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament says, you know, the Lord talking to Zerubbabel. That's the right pronunciation. It's a big name. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. The Spirit of God, the God of hosts, have given us a wonderful, you know, a spark in our life to continue to live as a beacon of light in a dark and lost world. So these are some passages I just put it in together. And he says, 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, because our weapons of our warfare not the flesh, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, the castles that can build us and slay us. So he's just encouraging, and I just was thinking, I say, you know, wow, we need to be aware of our vocation and vocation and to know the difference. A lot of people have just, you know, a couple different words and two words, and they miss out. A lot of people out there, maybe in the time of Corinthians church, they were saying, we are on vacation. Let's have a party. Let's live the way we want to live. And he said, no, 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 don't forget, you are called by God. Be sent to set apart people. So that was the picture in my mind about the first four chapters when he says, watch, be on the alert. There's something going on. There's something coming upon you. You need to be aware of. And Galatians, he said, you know, set all the fleshly desires away because they want to ruin your spiritual portfolio. They want to destroy your, you know, everything in the heavenlies. So that's the first command. I was looking at it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. You guys know the passage. And then 1 Peter 2:11, he said, I want to urge you. Just in the Old Testament, probably we don't know, but we can say certainly the Spirit of God was tapping over and over on the shoulder of this mighty soldier, mighty judge called Samson. Don't go to that path. Don't go to the naughty woman's home. Don't get drunk and deluded with the wine that can, destroy the whole purpose. And he said, Beloved, I urge you as a aliens, as a strangers, to be, stay away from the fleshly lust of this world and the soul and everything. So that's the first command. It was in my mind. And the second one, stand firm in the faith. And as I was asking Paul, what was in your mind when you were telling the Corinthians to stand firm in the faith? What was going on? And I learned when we study 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to 7, we learn it is personal, not cultural. Because we can see that in the life of Daniel, when he was in Babylon and there was a majority of the people were willingly to eat off of the table of the king Nebuchadnezzar and enjoy the welfare of the kingdom and enjoy everything that was provided to them for one cause. Just whenever the bah, 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 the trumpet being blown, just bow your head. Just give up, surrender every right of your freedom to this king who's not even God. So, but Daniel did not apply as a cultural thing like a lot of people are buying into, the cultural things. Hey, it's cultural. We can have 3 wives. We can have, fornication. We can be adulterous, we can do whatever because it is the culture. A lot of people buy into the cultural system of daily life. But we can see in the scripture, Daniel chapter 3 tells us, Daniel or his friends did not buy into the cultural thing. They kept, it's a personal. And what is personal? What we believe, what we hold, valuable. And they said, we will not eat from the table of the king. We like to know. They know that the difference. We are not going to bow to the culture. So when I was studying the 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to 7, I said, Paul is exhorting them, reminding them. And in his mind, probably he was thinking about Daniel. That as they were living in the nation that was a godless nation that was a full of idols, and the street was, selling the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and the offer was like, hey, if you buy into the system, we will give you 10%, credit. Just like, in that time, Corinthians was living in the same time. He's saying, and First Corinthians chapter 5 to 7, when we study, church have, sexual immorality. There's a divorce going on. Plus, there's what's going on. There's, prostitution is going on. There's an evil thing going on to go on in the church. Even people are getting into the bed with their stepmothers. And that is the whole thing's going on. And he said, hey, stop it. Remember to stand firm in your faith because it is personal. It is not cultural. Do not fall into the pit of a cultural lifestyle like a lot of people. A lot of people we can look at in the USA. They do not uphold their personal faith in Christ, or they don't have a value for that, so they bow into the cultural system of, modern Babylon. So I was thinking, I said, Paul, give me something. What are you talking about? What is in your mind? And then he said, Go talk to Daniel. Go talk to Daniel, find out, because he stand firm in a such way that what was personal to him, he not gave up for the, you know, the beauty and the comfort and the credit and the value of the cultural system. So, and I have some passages to share that there are three hard things that we can, you know, are very difficult to discern. Steal, a diamond, and to know oneself. That's why Bible says, you know, do not be deceived. Do not fall into the folly. Do not depend on the horses and the wealth of the Egypt. Do not do that. So we need to know ourselves as much to know our enemy, where he's coming and how he's pulling the arrow to destroy our spiritual focus. And it can cost us a lot. Just like Daniel, a lot of things he have to face as we read the life of Daniel in Old Testament. So some passages, Luke 22, chapter, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sweep you like a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have returned again, strengthened your brothers. And I think that's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Hey, stand firm. Before the fall happens, stand firm. Stete, right? Stete. That's the word? Stete. Stand firm. Keep approaching the goal, the purpose, the territory. Keep breaching. Keep breaching. And I was thinking, wow, that's a beautiful command. Stand firm. Because in the dictionary of a discipleship, there is a no word such call retreat. In the discipleship, the dictionary, am I saying dictionary? Yeah, dictionary of the discipleship, there's a no word found like retreat. It's always breaching, move forward. So Jesus, you know, helping Peter, the thick head, saying, hey, Satan have asked me, just like, you know, it was asking about Job. He's going to, you know, put you into the disposal of a system of confusion and hardship and pressure. So be stand firm. He's going to, you know, beat you so hard. But I have prayed for you to return. And some other passages, Paul says, Romans chapter 7, verse 23, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. So we need to know our capacity and to know where we can fall so we can flee. Just like the proverb says, don't go to that home. Watch. Just drink wine from your own. Drink water from your own faucet. Be merry. Have fun with your own life partner. Don't go to that naughty's woman home. So he's saying, you know, we can, you know, stay away from the lawlessness of Corinthians culture. Hold on to your personal conviction, which is stand firm in the faith. And he's just pointing back. Remember, your faith is on the rock, Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 3:12, he said, be indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ, Jesus will be persecuted. Daniel was persecuted. Corinthians is going to be having some flashes of, you know, persecution because they are living in the culture. We will face that. And probably you already experienced when you are, you know, wearing Jesus shirts and some of them saying, amen, brother, and some of them saying, What a nut. Or some of them saying some foolish stuff. So those who want to live godly life as a follower of Christ will be persecuted. And 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul talk about again. He said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Yes, he did. Daniel in the lion's den. Yes, he is talking back here to the Corinthians saying, stand firm. As he have rescued you from the pit of hell forever and ever by putting your faith in Christ, he is able to keep you stand firm. Keep preaching. No retreat. And will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Wow, what a beautiful place will be. No pain, no shame, no Delilah. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's what I was thinking. Easiest person to deceive is yourself. So we need to know ourselves as we need to know our Savior, as we need to know our enemy. What kind of mechanism he can use against us? How can he defeat us? For David, he knew that he can use Bathsheba, his comfort. For Samson, he knew he had taken a vow to be a Nazarite. Cannot touch wine, cannot touch a dead body, cannot sleep with a woman, this and that. And being judged, he knew that this judge will be taken down, so he offered up from his Santa Claus case. What is it called? That big sack. Satan's sack. Walking, looking. Okay, David, you need Bathsheba. Boom. Samson, you need Delilah. Boom. Have it. Enjoy. Joseph, I will crush you. I will do everything to take you, to ruin you, to do everything. And he offered another naughty woman from the Potiphar's home, a beautiful Egyptian queen. She's throwing every perfume on her. She having, you know, pedicure. She having, you know, nail fix. She's having, you know, eyelashes, hair, beauty, everything to get Joseph. He said, no. No, 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 naughty woman, no. I have read about other accounts, no, I'm not going to. So, we need to know ourselves. What is our folly? And it's good to know so we can, you know, say stop and run. So, Paul was thinking about Daniel. Hey, stand firm. Don't go into that same sexual immorality and all kind of things. So, that was the second. And the third person, when I was thinking, when he said, act like a man or be brave. So act like a man, it is physical and it is brutal. Just going back into the mind, what Paul was thinking when he was saying, hey, act like a man, 1 Corinthians 8-11, he's saying, do not coward. The system, the way of life you are living, do not be covering like, you know, in Old Testament Solomon did, the prophet King Saul did. For 40 days, 40 nights, they stood with the whole army listening to the mighty warrior called Goliath, mocking the God of Israel. Mocking the God of Israel and saying, is there anyone can come forward and fight with me? And nobody had a gut to go forward. And a little boy, shepherd boy, David, so young, listening to the whole mocking, 40 days, 40 nights, and he said, I will go because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even I walk through the valley of shadow when I have, you know, grabbed the baby sheep from the, you know, the lion and from the other occasions that he rescued me. He can deliver this dog into my hand. I know who got all the thunders of the, you know, universe. My God can put a collar, electric collar on that dog neck. And he said, only need 5 stones and 1, you know, stick to go forward with the faith in Yahweh. So I was thinking, I said, you know, what was going on in my mind when he was writing? He said, you know, it's not physical. It is physical. It's brutal. You have to, you know, keep yourself, you know, beating like he's saying to, you know, he said, you know, I beat myself for all the fleshly thing and it's brutal. Spiritual life is brutal. Like say perhaps praying ministry like Pastor Bob and all the elder was doing, it's give me a picture when I look and think about the intercession, the ministry of intercession behalf of other is like squeezing the lime. When we pray, we are actually releasing energy because we are so into prayer. So it's brutal. So he's telling the Corinthians, he said, act like a man. Do not be coward. And there's a lot of things going on, chapter 8 to 11. And he said, do not eat from, you know, the idol table. Do not do this. Do not do this. Do not coward. So we don't have a time to go exactly in every passage. But you guys can, you know, if you like it and like to study more, you can go in these passages. To look at when Paul was saying, act like a man. Be brave like a man. Do not coward. So I have some passages related to that. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 4 said, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. He's saying to the Corinthians, hey, act like a man. You have not shed the blood yet. But there will be if you continue to act like a man. So do not forget your position. You are example. You are forerunner for the nations and ages and, you know, families to come after. And they are a good example to us. He's saying, act like a man. Do not do what the Israelite did in the wilderness. When they start saying to Aaron, make idol. Whatever happened to Moses, we do not want to buy into. We want to have a God that goes before us. Just the same thing in Corinthians going on. They were bowing into the Satanist, you know, counterfeit table of, you know, to sacrifice. So he's reminding them, and we are learning from their failure to make a choice to fail or have a future that's a fulfilling God's plan. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulations. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Paul is writing to them, hey, I have struggled a lot, and I'm writing you. You guys can do the same thing to depend on this channel. Philippians 1:27-30, he said, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, as a one mind, as a one gospel, as, you know, stand firm. Act like a man. Do not let anybody to, you know, dog down you. Do not be, you know, become a somebody dog. Be like, you know, man. So I was thinking and I say, you know, wow. Act like a man. It is very difficult. And I was talking to some youth and I say, you know, how's your culture and how your, you know, life going in school? They said it's brutal. It is difficult. when you are surrounded by young teenagers who have no concept of any good conduct, any good value. And they said it's brutal. It is desirable to fall into, to become like one of them. And the same thing, Joseph Corinthians going through, he said, hey, act like men. 1 Peter 4:12-13, he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which come upon you from testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. I think that's the right word. Good. Holy Spirit, thank you. So, act like men. And the fourth command was to be strong. So, when we call by somebody, hey, be strong, it has something to do with a commitment to dedicate ourselves, to devote ourselves, to be loyal. But like any soldiers are sent off to anywhere and saying, hey, be strong, be focused. When that command is imposed on something, and I think it's have to do with a commitment. He's saying, be strong. So 1 Corinthians 12:14, as we study, there's a lot of heresy going on. There's a lot of wrong teaching going on. There's people coming in the back behind Paul, absent, and saying, hey, he's nothing. We are the good prophet. We are the good people. We are real good prophets. He's not. And sometimes jokes come in my mind. They are saying, we are prophets, and Paul saying, I'm a non-prophet. You guys are prophets. Don't buy to that lie. I'm a non-prophet. I'm doing everything because not anything that I desire. I'm doing because the calling upon me. The weight that is given to me, I'm doing that. So 1 Corinthians 12:14, we can see the whole struggle that is going on with the wrong teachers and the wrong prophets, and all are discrediting Paul's work. And then bringing this whole issue of, you know, oh yes, you have to have all the gifts of the Spirit to talk in a strange languages and this and that. And Paul saying, be strong. One thing is valuable if you don't have a love. The love that I possess, the love that I went through the shipwreck and through the night, you know, sleepless nights and hungry and lonely and naked and stone. And he's talking about all those things. And he said, you know, be strong. So I was thinking, what was Paul thinking? And the picture came to my mind. Judges. And his name is Gideon. He's saying, don't stay in your little box of, you know, being a coward. And the angel of the Lord says, arise up. Be strong. I have a purpose. And Paul is same saying, I want you guys to commit it what you already believe and continue. Do not fall into the strange things. Do not forget the command that I have given to you the night Jesus was betrayed. And he said, this is my blood. This is my, you know, blood was shed for you. This is the body that was torn apart for you. So you become a body. And he's just going through the whole wonderful a doctrinal session with them saying, be strong. Be strong. And the judges gave us a picture of 300. I put the 300 guys standing, be strong. He said, I'm standing, I'm committed, I'm dedicated, I'm devoted, and I'm loyal to the point of death. And he's saying the same thing to them. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, you know, the fight, the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you have were called. He's saying the same thing to them. Fight the good fight. Let in the ring of your spiritual struggle, the Holy Spirit continue to tap on your shoulder and saying, let me fight. Tap into the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So as they were making a great witness in the community of Corinthians, what is this new thing going on? All idol worshiper, all fornicator, all drunkard, all kind of, you know, evil people turning into the way of Christ's life. And he said to Timothy, fight the good fight. So we can do the same thing. And some more passages. 2 Colossians chapter 1 verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the church of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecution and affliction which you have endured. So when he's saying, be strong, you have come so far, don't go back. Don't go back. Just like, you know, another picture was coming in my mind, Solomon and Gomorrah. Angels took their hand, be strong, keep going. The whole family keep forwarding. And then his wife said, I left my makeup kit. And she was turned into, you know, stone. And she just, you know, was disobeying God's word. And he's saying, be strong. Do not go back like, you know, Lot's wife. Just like Jesus said, anyone follow me cannot put his hands on the plow and say, keep going, they will chop their feet. Recently, somebody was plowing the ground in India, and instead looking forward, he was looking back, and he got caught, and he was dead. It was electric truck plowing, not the ox one that Jesus was talking about. And Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Paul saying, be strong. Remember, he's faithful. He has brought you thus far. Do not go back your old way of life. 1 Peter 5:9, 10 says, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, God, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, and confirmed, strength, and establish you. So Paul is saying, Peter is saying here to the people of his time, Paul saying, be strong. We can look way back. God was faithful in the time of Pharaoh. God was faithful in the time of Abraham, in the time of Solomon, Gomorrah. So be strong. We need to be strong because a lot of people want to take our strength away to delude us. So that was the fourth, and that's the fifth command. He said, let all you do be done with unconditional love. Not conditional love. Because world have a conditional love. If you do that for me, I will do that for you. Or sometime, you do that for me, I'm going to do nothing. I'm all here to take. My first name is Jimmy, my last name is Moore. And give me more. My first name is Jimmy and last name is Moore. So worldly people have no concept of unconditional love. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 15 to 16, it was giving me a picture. He said, you know, love. So I was thinking, Paul, what person should I use to understand this command? Should I go and talk to Moses? He gave up, you know, for first 40 years in the king mansion and then 40 years suffer to become a, you know, a great shepherd. And then last 40 years, he become a great leader to lead people. And I said, okay, no, that's not fitting in the picture. Joseph, no, he suffered a lot. He showed the love for forgive. As a figure of Christ in Old Testament, I say, you know, the best thing, Paul, I understand what you're trying to tell me. I will take this command, Jesus says, to love one another as I love you, because love never asks, what can I get? It asks, what can I give? So I was thinking, I said, the best thing, Jesus is the beautiful picture to, you know, paint here, because that's what Paul has in mind about all the ministry of Jesus when he says, let all be done what you do in love. So John 13:15 said, great love has no one than this, that one laid on his life for his friends. And we know the best picture of love portrayed in the Bible, as you know, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Because the labor guy run away when he see any lion or any animal that come to take his sheep. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Another passage, Romans 5:7-8, encourages us to understand what Paul is saying to love. He said, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would desire even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. So that's a beautiful picture of Christ's love for us. And he asked us in, you know, John 13:15, he said, love one another so this way everybody will know that you are my disciple. And Ephesians 5:1-2, Paul again saying, therefore be imitator of God. If you want to copy, don't copy, you know, Justin Bieber. If you want to copy, don't do the moon thing of Michael Jackson. Be imitator of God as beloved children. As he was saying in Hebrew, he said, you know, we are surrounded by the cloud of witnesses. That is included Ruth, included, you know, Miriam, included Aaron, Moses, David, and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and many other things, and other persons. He said, be imitator of God as a beloved children. Walk in love. Walk in love. It's not a strip that we can walk over. It's mean having the same love that is shown to us to walk in, to live. Just as Christ also loves you and gave himself up for us. Husband and wife understand that command. In a worse, in a bad, in a ugly, in a good, in a wealth, in a poor, in a hospital, in a without hospital, in, you know, burger place, any place, I do will stand to love you. You know? So he said Christ did for us, offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrance aroma. I think last time I was here, I was talking about barbecue. So here's a picture of barbecue. God loves barbecue. And he smells. I was thinking, I say, you know, as I'm writing this, God not only smell, only not on looking at our life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, you know, present your body as a living sacrifice. He's not as he, you know, witnessing our life. As Old Testament Job, he says, you know, I know him. I know him, and he is my chosen one, and his lifestyle and his faith will not fail. So I said, God not only look at us, not only hear our prayer, but he smell us. According to Psalms 141, let my prayer be like, you know, frankincense and a sweet aroma to you. As a picture of a priest, and we are all royal priests, and God smells us. I was looking a video, it's a cartoon video, it's called the Bigfoot or Big Giant. It's a cartoon. So this giant is living far, 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 far away from humans. And when any humans come into his territory, he can smell human. And it was giving me a picture. When we are in the spirit, God saying, satisfy. Satisfy. That's mine. That is my set apart son and a daughter by putting his faith alone in the finished work of Christ. So Paul saying, let all be done in love. And he's giving us a picture of Jesus offering up on the altar of, you know, cross himself as a propitiation, satisfaction for God for us. So we can do the same. And he's saying, hey, I already told you, watch. There's a danger coming. I already told you, be on the alert. There's a folly that you can fall into. I already told you, Corinthians, be strong. Do not back. Do not do what Saul did, but do what David did. Go forward and sing, the God of Israel, the God of hosts will go with me, and I will take you and put electric collar on your chopped neck. He's reminding them, hey, be strong. And then he's saying, you know, be strong and then keep going. And he said, you know, do everything you do in love. So these are the five commands was in my mind. And then the last one is 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid on his life for us, and we ought to. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And those are the five commands, and love that will. A love that will not bear all, care for all, share all, is not love at all. So Jesus is a wonderful picture to the Corinthians, to us, and these are the five commands we can say, stand firm. In the faith, be brave, be strong, let all be done to let all that you do be done in love. And I think I'm done. Thank you very much again, brother, for a wonderful opportunity to share. I hope it makes sense. Most of the time I think backwardly, so God bless you. Sure. Father, thank you for these five commands. Give us five individuals. Even we can see more. And in the life of Corinthians. So, Father, may the Spirit of God guide us so we can see and stay, be on the alert if there's anything that is darkens in our spiritual life. So we can stand firm if there's anybody threatening through a false doctrine our faith. And, Father, we be brave and be strong, that our faith in your Son, who is the rock of the ages. And thank you, Father, for the love that you have shown us through Jesus Christ. Father, bless your body here. Thank you, Father, for Brother Bob and wonderful shepherd. And use this all for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the edification and the encouragement of your body. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.